Boo this man. Boo this man.
All right, let's start the show.
What are we saying?
Here we go.
What are you doing over there?
The countdown.
It's the family room.
5, 4, the cutest. 3, 2, 1. Tanner, give us a It's Horse Time.
It's horse time.
Tanner, tell her to say it's horse time.
Say it's horse time.
I don't think that was
it. Cut out.
It's horse time. One more time.
It's horse time.
It's horse time.
Yeah. Yes. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Saturday, and you know what that means.
No, no it's not.
Oh,
no,
it's
no,
Friday. No. It's Friday evening. We're sitting back, me in my office, Kaz in the office, Tanner in the family room, and it is horse time on Podzilla 1985. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host, as always. With me tonight, of course, we do have Mr. R.E. Casper.
Yo, yo.
And the man himself, Tanner Calvert.
Holla.
Not currently pictured, Double H, who may or may not join in with us later. We're not sure. You just it's missed mystery. Lindsay. She just popped in to say hello, and then she left. I don't know if I want to tell the story if Lindsay's listening. It might
well,
be.
She's just gonna. I'll just play along here. She says.
Yeah, I'll save that story for later. Anyway, welcome. Welcome to Friday Nights here on the Podzilla horse-related comedy hour network. And if you're new to the show, if you're new to Friday Nights, this is the show where we really don't do anything at all. We just sit around, we talk, we share stories, we bullshit. Really quick, happy birthday, Gina. I know you're listening. We want to put it out on the air live. I'm also trying a new...
Live.
I'm trying a new voice out for the show. I noticed as I play back the episodes... More and more, I sound less and less like I actually sound because I get so excited that I'm like, you know, like, oh my god, Cass is on the show tonight. Oh, that's Jay Leno. Hey, everybody. And I don't.
Higher and higher and higher.
And I
you
don't.
You just went straight Jay Leno. I don't know what happened.
I don't want to be known for that. I am not Jay Leno.
No, he didn't go full Jay Leno. I don't want to punch him in the face right now.
I don't care for Jay Leno. I never have.
Nope.
I never will. Tanner shared some exciting news with us before the show that Jon Stewart is coming back exclusively to UPN, and I can't wait.
Wait, I thought it was the WB.
On the WB.
Or was that, wait, do you remember Channel 29, 3, 6, 12,
CW?
29, 23?
Was it CW?
No, this is when you had the bunny ears, and you had to have somebody hold it, use some aluminum foil. We only got like 5, 6 channels back there in Pulaski County.
Okay. 3, 6, 12, 23, 49.
There was that middle channel though. There was that 29, which was the weird religious channel, and now it was
Yeah, I loved that channel. I watched that channel a lot because I wanted to know what monsters looked like. So
yeah, it was pretty fucking accurate.
I love the 700 Club. Actually, quick story. As you know, myself and Tanner, we work with Cape Championship Wrestling. And in Cape Championship Wrestling, I may have told this story before, but it just reminds me, I lead a group called House 100. Now, originally, Jason Wells, who runs CCW and is a friend of mine, he wanted to call the group the 100 Club. And I said, absolutely not, because I think he thought it sounded, I don't know where his thought process was on this. I think he thought it sounded like the Bullet Club. So maybe that's what he wanted to do. But to me, all I heard was the 700 Club. And I didn't want to be Pat Robertson. Ironically, whenever we started the group, my first version of myself in that group was as a cult leader. So
that would have been more fitting.
It would have been fitting. The comedy writes itself.
You would have been like a discount version, like 1/7 off.
I would have. The 1/700 Club.
Yes.
I'm only partially as crazy. But yeah.
What can you do?
Anyway.
What can you do?
Tanner wanted.
What are we talking about, man?
We don't know. Nobody knows.
We got a little something to talk about.
Lindsay's kind of curious about the story that I can't tell in public. It's not about you, Lindsay. Just that is my promise. It's not about you. It's about me, but it's an awkward story. So I'll tell that
save
one.
Save that one for another time.
I'll save that one for another time. Tell that one in private. Tanner, you did want to talk about something weird that had happened. What? Do you
like my
cadence?
The way that you started
that. I go back sometimes and I listen to the old episodes, and like I used to be so much more theatrical in the way I spoke back then.
Ooh, now, Sunday.
Yes, Sunday, Random Sunday was a show we once did, and I would talk like this more often. I missed
Tanner those Thursday and Trainwreck Thursday. And
terrifying Tanner Thursday.
I remember the Trainwreck Thursday, yeah.
Well, Trainwreck Thursday eventually just became Thursday.
And then I guess maybe just morphed into, like, it split into After Dark and Horse Time.
Horse Time.
Thursday's always been After Dark. It's just, we changed the name finally.
Horse Time is the real Thursday show, though, to be fair. Because this is what Thursday used to be.
Well, it wasn't. We had topics.
No, if we did it first, but eventually it slid into a decline when it became a train wreck. And then it basically.
Yeah, when I stopped showing up.
You never showed up. You were never there.
I love where this is going. Keep going.
I think I know part of the reason why I speak differently now than I did then. And it's because of this fucking camera here. I don't know if you guys notice whenever we're doing this, but I'm constantly looking around and fidgeting. And I never realized how like awkward I was on camera. It's different when I'm in front of 800 people. I can see them. I can see them. And here it's like I can only see myself and you guys. And it throws me off. Makes me feel like I have to look and talk differently than I normally do. So it's weird. I have wanted to go back to an audio podcast for months now. Nobody wants to go back to an audio podcast specifically. Just me. So I thought as a compromise, I would take a picture of myself and put it up instead of a live video. Cass, do you have a picture of me that we could possibly put up in place of...
I think I can hook you up with that.
All right, let's see what you got. If you have a suggestion, I would appreciate it. There it is. There it is. That's the sparkle muscle.
Sparkle muscles. It's the only way to do it.
I miss that arm. Now, I don't think I have that arm right now. I haven't lifted in months.
I miss that arm.
I miss that arm.
You can get it back. You can get it back.
Once I clear the spiders out, and then we clear out the garage, I'm going to set up a little gym in there, and that'll be fun.
Why don't you just print Hugh Jackman's face and then poke its eyes out and just wear that on the front of your face?
No, because I'm afraid then if ever there's a girl that's interested in me and she sees this video, she's going to expect me to look like Hugh Jackman.
That's a strange takeaway.
Well, I have a strange person.
From my suggestion. But okay, we'll go with that.
All right, so Tanner, you wanted to talk about a relatively serious topic here. Yeah. It's been in the news, and I've been paying mostly attention to it. I just went blurry again. I forgot the autofocus is on. Wake up. Hello.
Lean into it.
Rock with it. Lean with it.
I just realized I still got sparkle muscles up. I'm sorry.
Thank you. All right, Tanner, tell us about this story.
So, several months ago, a girl named Gabby Petito, I guess that's how it's pronounced. Went on a cross-country trip with her fiance. Well, they have not heard from her in quite some time. At least since August 30th. And the boyfriend, fiance, whatever, returned home without her. Refuses to speak to the family. Doesn't say where she's at.
Yeah.
And now, on top of everything else, his attorney is advising everyone that he nor his family will speak to anyone.
That is a truly...
What attorneys do.
Truly strange occurrence. And there was video that came out of her. I guess there was a body cam footage of a police officer.
Like an hour long.
Yeah, that happened before all this. So here's the takeaway from it. He killed her. Then that's the end of that.
Well, the last message the mother
allegedly.
Got from her, the last message the mother got from her was saying no signal in, I think, Yosemite is where she was at that point in time.
What?
That was... Back
I see it over all the news. I've seen headlines of it, and it just keeps popping up in my feeds. But I'm kind of wondering myself, is that the only person out there that's missing?
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So, like, no. My point being is, like, yeah, that's the thing that's happening. Is this one symbolic and trying to turn some limelight over to that situation? Not just these two, but just, like, all the other missing people or... Yeah.
Well, I think if I could jump in there on this one, I think that the reason this one is getting so much attention is simply for the fact that it's a good crime story. Like
there's my point.
Yeah, they have a lead. She's an attractive young lady. This is sellable. And as you know, Kaz, you especially, you and I both know that journalism is all about what you can sell. And they can sell this story. It's a pretty easy one.
Yep. They got an hour of video that they can just cut up and mix up and use. They got endless mystery, like you said, loose ends that they can just assume for and, you know, speculate to the heart's content. It'll make for good TV for like a month.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long before you think the Lifetime original film comes out?
I'm about to say, you know, something like that's going to
November.
Happen. Oh, absolutely.
It's filming right now.
I only feel bad that Melissa Joan Hart is too old to play the role. Because it would have been her or someone like, I don't know, a B-tier actress.
Alicia Silverstone.
You shut your whore mouth and leave Alicia Silverstone out of this. She is a goddess. And I will hear nothing less of the sort. Damn it, I had a point about all this, and I don't remember what it was now.
It's the sensationalism of it.
It was about her.
That's what throws me, is like, it's just being sensationalized.
You said the last text she sent her mother was no signal.
Yeah, wherever she was at, no signal at.
So the
no
boy
signal, comma, at
the boyfriend probably sent that. I mean, if I'm speculating,
it's possible.
Yeah, speculating, did you ever hear about War Machine?
Don Cheadle?
No. The MMA fighter who changed his name to War Machine because he's a complete douchebag. All right. Well, let me tell you. Also, Michaela, if you're saying Hillary Duff, you keep your mouth shut too. You diss Hillary Duff, I'm gonna come across that. I'm gonna come across that barricade at the next show, and I'm gonna.
Hillary Duff could actually play that character still.
She can play any character. She's so versatile. Anyway, so War Machine, he was an MMA fighter who ended up in a relationship with an adult actress named Christy Mack, I think is her name, and they had this really.
Sounds familiar.
They had this relationship that was very problematic. He was abusive. And she finally got away from him. He broke into her house months after the fact and caught her in bed with another man. It was her new boyfriend. And he beat the boyfriend a little bit, threatened him. The boyfriend left. And then he beat her mercilessly. And took her phone. And
came in a weird time.
Man. You did. Hunter, hold on one second. You don't want any part of this. Took her cell phone.
Okay.
And... took her cell phone and actually texted her family, like saying things were okay. That's what this reminds me of. He was gonna kill her, basically. That's what this reminds me of. All right, Hunter, you can come back in now. The weird part's over.
Nah, I'm good.
Double H on the line with us, folks.
Horse
tizzle.
Horses.
We're talking about the woman that disappeared. Whiskers. She went on a vacation with her boyfriend, and then he came back by himself, and no one knows.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, they do. He does.
That's what I was saying.
Right?
He killed her. He killed her. Right? Happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
He killed her.
No debate there. That's what happened.
Allegedly.
All right. Next question. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah, August 30th, she sent the last text message from her phone to her mother saying, no service in Yosemite.
I missed where?
Know this Donald. Wait, where?
The Yosemite. True crime show now. But.
Yosemite. Say that again?
Yosemite?
Where is that, Tanner?
Yosemite. Yo, Gabba Gabba. You a legend for that one, fam.
Yosemite, yeah. Sam.
Yes, Brian.
To be fair, it's spelled Yosemite. But
I would have said Yosemite.
Yosemite.
Brian, he is still refusing to talk to police, I think.
Yep.
At the direction of his lawyer, he's not allowed to talk to the police or press, and the family is not allowed to talk to the press.
Are they from California?
No, Florida.
He needs to go to California because in California, murder is legal.
Yeah. It's official, actually, that is the case.
I wasn't gonna talk about anything heavy tonight. I wasn't even gonna bring up the Kabul airstrikes that I did in the chat earlier when I saw this.
You mean Kabul?
No, I've talked to Tanner. Fuck, I fucked up my own joke.
Tamahawks.
I had it all planned out, too.
That's why the entire show should just be us going, whores.
Whores. Except for Tanner said he'd say hars. I'm sorry.
Jesse?
No, if it was Jesse, if it was Jesse, the moment he would have said something wrong, he would have said, well, actually. And then he would have pulled out his audio dictionary and told you what it was.
Audio dictionary.
Hey,
Siri. What's his name?
Hashtag.
Horse.
There's a ringtone.
All right.
No, the ringtone was what I got last night. Oh, Tanner was right.
He's never going to let that go.
Never.
Nor should he.
What did I miss? Anything worth chiming in on?
Nah.
We talked.
I got my 4-year-old to scream. It's horse time.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was a pretty cool intro. Was. Yeah.
I mean, it is kids though, so like. Yeah.
Now, if Hunter could get Parker to scream, it's horse time. Then you got something to look forward to.
Hey, let me check. Bones. No, he won't do it.
No.
I tried.
Well, he's not your monkey. No. He's not going to do what you tell him to do.
No. He's not just going to dance for you. No. That's not how it works.
We were talking about how badly I want to turn this back into an audio podcast, and nobody else wants to.
That was just a unanimous, yeah. No, you will not.
No, you will not. Hashtag nope.
I mean, all right. Without saying anything, let me guess. Your reasoning is that you feel like it would be more serious if we did it that way.
No, I just don't like seeing myself.
Oh well, then no. No,
exactly.
No, you
and like not. And like. I don't even think this is even like a. I'm an. Nope. This isn't even me saying I'm unattractive or anything. I'm a very attractive. I'm a very attractive man. Clearly, look at my social life. This is more of just, it's just awkward. I feel so awkward because I have to look up here to see what's going on and over here, and I always see myself. And I don't know if you guys can see yourself while we record this. I assume you do.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
I look at myself often.
Feels weird.
Like, man, he's weird looking. His hat's messed up. He should turn his camera off. Well, the same way.
He might be experiencing some derealization.
He's the potato kid.
What you should do about it is play Super
Mario. I love hashtag nope.
Game Pass.
Hashtag nope.
That's what you
hashtag nope.
I bought Grand Theft Auto today on Xbox.
Son of a
Why did you do that?
No. We had one at the store. It cost me like $5. So
that's still $5. That's Taco Bell.
Not when I eat it.
It is.
I go
give me a full on.
I go for the extra quesadilla.
Version of that is, because see, here's the thing: if I could get a digital pass to just the online the same way that you can for Red Dead for GTA, I would do that if it wasn't crazy expensive.
I don't think you can. I think GTA you have to buy.
I'm not playing that story again.
No,
I
nor should
I,
you.
I didn't hate the story. Don't get me wrong, but I just it has been
nope.
A year. Okay, I got that. Actually, I was just talking to somebody about this today. Sarah got that game for me the day that it came out. I wasn't even gonna get it, and she surprised me with a copy of it on the PS3. And I played through the story over the course of, like, I don't know, a couple weeks, a month, something like that. And it was fine. I never touched the online. And when it was over, I was like, oh, this was really good. And then I put it away. And then it just never went away. Like, it just, people kept talking about it. I was like, okay, but we're going to move on from that, right? Mm-mm. No. 8 years later, we're still doing it. And again, with Red Dead, I didn't mind buying the Ultimate Edition because I will legitimately play that story again. It was that good. Probably, definitely one of, if not maybe my favorite video game story of all time. It's just that well written and acted and performed. GTA is not that. Like, we're going to do that. I'll play the online, but...
I legitimately think that the storyline in Saints Row is better than Grand Theft Auto V. And I know that's weird because
you are correct.
It's so off the wall and weird.
Not really.
Like, you know...
But that's when people like GTA, that's what it was. It was around 4 when they went, oh, we're going to try to start being serious, but also there's going to be like 3 little goofy things included here. And
Freckle bitches.
I'm good.
That is Saints Row. What is the GTA version? Is it like Big Sausage Dog or Big Penis?
I mean, they have a chicken. What's the chicken restaurant?
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. It was a Cluck. Clucking fuck, fucking bird. What was it?
Where's this
something
going?
Clucking something. Yeah, it's clucking the, something. Clucking bell. Clucking bell. Yeah. That's what it is. Clucking bell.
I only remember that because Bob and I on GTA 4, because there was an online in GTA 4, but it wasn't good. You just you just picked random run characters around. And run around. But we would always go on the clucking bell and hide and get in shootouts with people. Did I ever tell you? So we tried to play GTA 4 like we play Red Dead now. It was me and Bob and a couple guys from GameStop. One was I know Lawrence was there, and that's the important one. Lawrence was black. Lawrence played with us the first time.
Was
he probably still is. The first time we played together, we get in the lobby. And as soon as we connect to the lobby, it's just a bunch of white kids saying the N-word to each other. Lawrence immediately quit the lobby and never played again.
Yeah, that's fair. This is another reason that I'm glad that basically when we play anything, Call of Duty, Red Dead, whatever, it's party chat only.
Yep.
I don't want to hear anybody. I don't know if I told you guys, but since we've been playing Red Dead, there has only been one time that I have heard other players in the lobby. It was a day I was playing by myself for a little while. I had my stuff muted because obviously I don't want anybody to hear me run around, because it's just going to be every once in a while you hear the fan buzz my microphone and that's it. But I was running around and I could see that there was some audio popping up from players nearby, and I saw there were players, you know, on the map. So I'm like, what is this? I couldn't tell if I couldn't understand them because I wasn't close enough to them, because Red Dead does that thing where, like, if you're not close enough, you can't hear their audio. They try to match like how close you are to the player in the game. From my camp, I go to the edge of this cliff, and I can see they're down, like, way down at the bottom of this cliff in a little valley doing a roadblock clearing or something, some kind of little free roam mission. And it takes me a minute, but they're speaking, I think they were speaking Spanish. It definitely wasn't English. It was Spanish or Portuguese or something, you know, very similar to that. And from on top of the ridge, I'm like, I'm gonna help these guys. So I grab my rolling block, and I start picking off anybody I can, you know, get from there. Not them, obviously, but I hear them, like, they're just pretty well consistently talking, and then all of a sudden it just stops, and you see both of their players like look up toward the ridge, and I'm like, oh shit, like, are they gonna kill me? And they just went back to doing what they were doing, and I picked these guys off, and then before they left, they couldn't see me, but I like tipped my hat and just rode away. That'll leave them a fun story to tell somebody.
That's very similar to what I encountered in Red Dead riding through Valentine. And as I'm heading outside of town, I see two people off to the side by the stables having a conversation, two players. So I also rode up to them with a fire bottle and set them both on fire.
Well, it is similar, yes, in that basic respect of two other players.
Yes.
It also reminds me of that a few nights back when we went into that house upstairs in the card room while the two of you completely
destroyed. Can we just deconstruct real quick what he just said? We went into the house up to the card room.
But y'all knew what I was talking about.
You mean the saloon?
I couldn't think of any other way.
I left something in my card room. I gotta go upstairs real quick. I'll be right back.
That place where they go and lose money.
Church? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so edgy. Tanner.
Oh, my goodness.
Tanner.
You're going to be talking about swollen balls like Nicki Minaj.
Tanner.
Don't cut yourself.
Tanner, what's the difference? What's the difference between this and my humor? Nothing.
Why you got that?
Why do you have a razor blade?
Because I'm moving. I use this to undo boxes as I put stuff up in my room, guys. It's okay. I don't need a wellness check. I'm fine.
I'm notifying.
Please.
Twitter,
podcast,
and Instagram.
Podcast to split your wrist too.
No, I was more fascinated with the fact that you have a very specific type of box cutter, which is like the warehouse, like when you work in the back of the store. It's like a specific box cutter that few people have.
No, I can answer that. It's because Lindsay stole about 1,000 of these from Stephen Berry's, I'm pretty sure, before they closed. So we have boxes of box cutters. And what are you gonna do, Steve?
That was also Barry.
I got half a dozen of them from Hobby
Barry.
Lines.
Or Barry.
That was also very much the GameStop brand go to box cutter. Like, you would just roll around.
Oh shit, maybe I stole these from GameStop.
It's probably where that came from.
Well, they're still in business. You don't want to say that.
What are they going to do? Y'all can't touch me. I'm not scared. GameStop don't scare me.
I don't know. They got money now because of Wall Street.
I want them to interrupt his deal with the Ass Dan Tombstone. I'm going to
So I was watching more Norm Macdonald clips today because I've been on a Norm Macdonald kick ever since he passed, and I forgot about this one. I almost wanted to do this as the end joke for tonight. It's so OJ Simpson calls into SNL of Weekend Update. Oh, yeah. It's Tim Meadows playing OJ, obviously, and Norm Macdonald plays. I was like, oh hey Juice, what's going on? And they're very friendly with each other, and this goes on for like 3-4 minutes of them just talking about catching the real killer. It's really strange, and it's not funny at all. There's no joke. And so then OJ says, you know, can I display this phone number? Because we're trying to sell these tapes that like prove his innocence or something. And he's like, yeah, Juice, go ahead. And he gives the number out, and they repeat the number like 5 times. And at the end, Norm says, hey, Juice, can you do me a favor? Can I read that number out one more time? He goes, yeah, of course, Norm. So he says it again. And then, you know, he says, okay, Norm, well, I'll let you go. And he's like, okay, thanks, Juice. And he hangs up the phone. So then Norm goes to tell his next joke, and the plot or the punchline is basically that O.J. Simpson was going to cut the heads off all these people that he was with. And then the phone immediately rings again, and it says on the phone O.J. Simpson, and he doesn't answer it this time. And it was one of the funniest fucking jokes. It went on for 4 minutes of no humor, and then just the immediate ring of the phone again. It reminded me of the moth joke. It's just
isn't that what got him fired? Because he continued to make OJ jokes, and they didn't want him to, and he was like, "No, fuck that." And he did it.
Well, that's
on the cold open.
It's like Doc Holliday. That's the rumor. I don't think they ever verified that was why he was fired, but more than likely, it's because Don Odemeyer. Something like Ottomer. That.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He was one of the like president of NBC or something, and he was good friends with O.J. Simpson, and they warned Norm Macdonald to stop making O.J. jokes, and Norm Macdonald, as Norm Macdonald does, said okay, and then kept doing them.
Well, and I mean, he even said years later that he wasn't sure that was exactly why,
right. Because
he also made a lot of jokes at the expense of Michael Jackson. And Michael Jackson, or that situation was the one when Lorne kind of stepped in and was like, oh, do you really want Michael Jackson to sue you? To which Norm was like, yeah, that would be fucking cool, man. Absolutely, I want Michael Jackson to sue me. That sounds awesome.
Jokes are right themselves at that point.
It was not... it didn't happen that way, but...
That sounds like a Norm response, too.
Less funny was I watched Howard Stern talk about Norm Macdonald today. And I'm not a big Howard Stern fan. I've never been a big Howard Stern fan. But he spoke very kindly about Norm and played a clip from a couple years ago. And as he said, this was when Norm was either 4 or 5 years into this private battle with cancer, where Howard Stern asked him about dying. And like, if you can't go out of your way to watch it, because you see it now on Norm's face as he's talking about it. He has that, you know, he always had that kind of awkward charm, that awkward humor, but he looks uncomfortable. Like it hits a little too close to home. But no one knew that at the time, you know?
Yeah.
It's just very strange. It was very strange, but it was sweet. It was, you know, everyone loved Norm Macdonald, except for the people that hated Norm Macdonald.
Yes.
Speaking of
that's accurate, yes.
Speaking of which, Hunter, I think that you had a joke prepared for us that you got from from your driver. Hey, baby bird. Welcome to the show, Zach.
Driver? What? We're taking requests.
Yeah, this is we were gonna open the show with this, but I'm gonna get into it anyway. So a moth goes into a podiatrist's office, and the podiatrist says, "What seems to be the problem, moth?" And the moth says, "What's the problem? Where do I begin, man? I go to work for Gregory Ilinovich, and all day long I work. Honestly, doc, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I don't even know if Gregory Ilinovich knows. He only knows that he has power over me, and that seems to bring him happiness, but I don't know. I wake up in a malaise, and I walk here and there, and at night I sometimes wake up and turn the old lady on my in my bed that's on my arm, that lady that I once loved, doc. I don't know where to turn to. My youngest, Alexandria, she fell in the cold of last year. The cold took her down, as it did many of us. And my other boy, and this is the hardest pill to swallow, doc, my other boy, Gregaro Ilovitovich, I no longer love him. As much as it pains me to say, when I look in his eyes, all I see is the same cowardice that I catch when I take a glimpse of my own face in the mirror. If only I wasn't such a coward, then perhaps I could bring myself to reach over to that cocked loaded gun that lays on the bedside beside me and end this hellish facade once and for all. Doc, sometimes I feel like a spider, even though I'm a moth and I'm just barely hanging on to my web with an everlasting fire underneath me. I'm not feeling good. So the doctor says, Moth, man, you're troubled, but you should be seeing a psychiatrist. Why on earth did you come in here? And the moth says, because the light was on. That's it. That's all.
Yep.
That's it.
That was.
Norm told that entire bit on Conan, and the best part is, and I wasn't going to drag it out so long, he would pause at the end of sentences, and you can see Conan like, okay, here comes the bit, and then he would just, I walk around in a malaise, and Conan's just like, why? Please, end it!
So, I read that apparently Norm did not know that he was going to be on the next segment. So when Conan said, we'll be right back with more Norm MacDonald, he panicked because he didn't have any more material prepared. So he told that joke and he knew the beginning and the end because
Right. It's an old bit.
It's an old bit. And he dragged it out with whatever came to his head as long as he could. And it's like
Garo Vinovich.
It's like The Simpsons. If you've ever seen the episode, it's one of the most classic bits where Sideshow Bob steps on the rakes and they hit him in the face over and over again. Only reason they did that joke was because they had to fill time. They didn't have a long enough show. And it became one of the most beloved classic bits of all time.
Peter did it too. Seth MacFarlane did it with the Peter with the kneecap thing. Fall. Yeah.
Well, they did the same thing with the we often reference the and then there's Maud bit where they talk about the extended intro to the Maud show. You know, Lady Godiva was, and he's just sitting there going, and then there's Maud. Come on. And then there's Maud.
It's a brilliant
Jeez, that was an ordeal.
Platform for a joke. It's
dragging the joke out past the point of comfortable. Is
like it's not even funny. It gets angry and then it comes back to being funny again because you finally just take it too far. I told you guys that bit about the horse that was in the band and it ends with the classic why the long face when he goes to the bar. I did it on the show a while back. It's the same deal. It's the same concept.
You the just key to it though.
Drag it out till it's ridiculous.
Only certain there are comedians that have witty lines, witty wordplay, and so forth, and then there are delivery comedians. And then sometimes you get the unicorns in between, and that's your big stars. But if you don't have the delivery side of that equation, that joke ain't worse.
No,
I think the closest I could ever say that I've done to that joke and succeeded with it. And I've done this bit on the show a couple times. I haven't done it lately. Is where I'll start to tell a personal story. And I'll go in depth about this personal story. And as the story drags out further and further, you see the realization on some of the other cast members' faces that I'm actually describing the plot of a film. And then they'll all just go, oh, God damn it. And that's one of my favorite bits. I want to do that.
Those are good ones, too.
I love those. I love those quite a bit. Tanner, I think also you were right last night in that it was the series finale of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Jesse said there were two more episodes.
Yeah, Boo! Bone! Sorry.
What? I have not seen it. I don't want to hear a thing about it. I have a lot to catch up on this weekend. Tomorrow, I need to catch up on the end of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, this Dark Side of the Ring episode that is blowing up the internet.
Jesus. I watched it today.
I got to get into that.
Yeah.
What? The hell?
So I got that. So, Kaz, Vice TV has a show called Dark Side of the Ring. That Fantastic. Is basically them going into these behind the scenes stories of pro wrestling, like when things got bad.
I recognize some of killed. This shit. This is awesome. I mean, not awesome, but it's awesome.
It's not awesome once you watch the episode.
The most recent episode, the most recent one is based on something called The Plane Ride from Hell. which is basically WWE was in the UK for a pay-per-view, and they were on their way back, and there was a lot of alcohol involved and a lot of real bad attitudes, and people who should... And a lot of pill, yeah, a lot of drugs, and a lot of people who should not be allowed around women. Yeah. Well, so they when they did this season, because this season has been done for a while.
That's not good.
But they split it in half, and so the last episode aired, I think, sometime back in June or July, and then they were coming back, you know, in September. Sometime in between there, one of the big wrestling, and I can't remember if it was like Sean Ross Sapp or Meltzer or somebody got their hands on. Like a preview copy of the episode. And I remember seeing that somebody, I think maybe Asa, had screenshotted a tweet from them that was like, when the Plane Ride from Hell episode airs, lives are going to be ruined. And they probably should be. And sure enough, Tommy Dreamer, Ric Flair. Ric Flair just lost some kind of sponsorship earlier today. They out and out said, we're done with you. Tommy Dreamer's been suspended from Impact Wrestling.
Yep.
Like,
well, this is so bad. There's a...
But yeah, I've got... I got What If to catch up on, so it's
there's a lot of stuff. I don't know if they're going to do PW next week, because I don't think they've done it for 2 weeks. We keep saying, oh, PW this week, they're going to talk about this. That's not Ace's fault. I think Dalton's still on hiatus, and Asa probably just doesn't want to do it by himself. I get that. So if he can't That's do fair. It, I want to mention it right now about this Plane Ride from Hell episode. I watched it earlier, and what I got from it is that everyone's a scumbag. Everyone was a scumbag except for Terry Runnels and the poor flight attendants.
Yeah, I most assuredly take back my comment, because this is not what I thought it was.
To be fair, of all the wrestlers on the plane, the one that doesn't seem like he was a total dick, Brock Lesnar.
Oh, okay, good. I thought you were going to say Dustin Rhodes, because everyone keeps saying Dustin Rhodes. But what they don't tell you on that episode, and there's a conspiracy theory, that because AEW has some kind of ties to Vice with Jericho and or whatnot, that they kind of buried... the Dustin Rhodes angle, because apparently Dustin Rhodes was just as bad. He was grabbing flight attendants' breasts. He was asking if they're real. Yeah. He was doing awful shit. Yeah. But to me, the worst quote from that episode
actually made, like, they were making excuses for why Dustin was acting the way he was, which I understand. Sure. These are reasons. It's because he was going through the divorce. He was drunk just like everybody else, but it's not an excuse for what they were doing.
No. No. And the most
reason, maybe excuse, no.
The most damning quote from this episode, I think, other than Tommy Dreamer, because he just buried himself. He's done.
Yep, that's it.
To me, the most troubling quote, and I'm gonna mess it up. I'm paraphrasing, but it was Rob Van Dam, and you, Hunter, you'll see it when you see it. He's talking about them getting like what's it called? H bombs. They make H bombs, and the goal was to get the new guys so drunk that you could fuck with them and you could like shave their head and do stuff. But then he said they would bring girls in and basically do it to them to where they were passed out so the boys could do things to them while they were out. That to me is the absolute worst thing. And if they knew that was happening, like, because I've always heard the Plane Ride from Hell, as everyone else kind of did, that it was this comical, whoa, look at these frat boys doing frat boy things. But what you didn't hear was the sexual assaults and the indecent exposures. Like, it was a nightmare.
Well, as a matter of fact, I forgot Asa dropped a link to this earlier. I haven't gotten around to watching this. I never saw it. Do you remember when WWE did this thing on the network called Storytime for a while? Where they did like little animated versions of crazy things that happened, like Christian. The one that we knew infamously was that Christian was supposed to be in Cape Girardeau for a house show, and he had gone to like Kansas City or something. So he had to get in a car and like drive all this crazy distance, and that was really funny. It was this little animated thing. So this tweet is from a guy named David Bixenspan, who has spliced together a couple of things. One, Ric Flair's 30 for 30, and two, an episode of Storytime from the network that has some stuff, and I'm going to drop it in the Discord right now, has some stuff from the Plane Ride from Hell, mostly about Ric Flair. And it's like, this is, they act like, WWE is now acting like, oh, this is brand new information. We had no idea it was this bad. And it's like, well, here's you making fun of it in animated cartoon form. Are you sure?
Yeah.
You sure? Because here are the receipts. Are you sure it wasn't that bad and you didn't know?
What a fucking cesspool.
Because we doubt that.
WWE is a cesspool.
Also, I'm reading reports that the story used in that story time may not be from the same flight.
So Flair did it more than once? Way.
Yeah.
That's even worse. That's
just worse.
Yeah.
So I would say this is the most like actionable episode that they've had so far to date.
No.
Probably.
No, I mean, there's...
Well, that seemed like a mixed response.
Well, they've tackled a lot of heavy stuff. I mean, they did Chris Benoit, you know.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
But I'm taking what Kaz says as they can actually do something about it.
Actionable.
Oh, okay.
In other words, this happened. Yeah.
I didn't say the most like...
It may not be the worst one.
I got you.
No, I said actionable.
Overall, but...
Well, I mean, WWE can't
do anything about Benoit.
WWE can't do much because most of the people that were on that plane ride aren't in the Fed anymore.
Not there anymore.
Except for Lesnar.
Yeah, but they better start issuing some apologies and some... Yeah. And they're going to have to do some major PR work coming out of this because, again, all this happened under their banner, and what happened about it? They did an animated joke about it?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert in advance of this, but what was Ric Flair's to do with it? I haven't seen it. I'll watch it eventually, but go ahead, spoiler alert.
Well,
real quick, Shannon, Hunter's not on the stream.
What?
I can hear him, but they can't see him. There it is.
Well, I'm watching it right now.
I'm here.
Mine, and he wasn't showing up for mine.
You got that cursed internet again. Really quick. Really quick, Zach Kurgis, in case you didn't know already, Vice is its own network. And the show is called Dark Side of the Ring. Now, you can go to YouTube and go to Vice's channel. They have this episode up. So
they have all the really good episodes.
You can also watch them through their website up to like a certain point or after a certain point. I forget what it is without a cable login. If you have a cable login, you can watch them anytime full and complete on the website.
Yeah. Now, as to what Ric Flair did, the most egregious thing that he did in this was that he cornered a flight attendant in the galley and was wearing only a robe, nothing else but a robe. And Tommy Dreamer tried to play it off as the boys will be boys. Rick's going to be Rick and everybody's laughing. If she got offended, oh well.
Which is why Tommy got himself canceled.
He got boxed.
Yeah.
Flair starts spinning his penis around like a helicopter blade, and then he's trying to get the flight attendant to touch it. He's trying to force her to grab it and touch it. And eventually, people are watching this, and eventually,
what the hell?
Dustin Rhodes does come over and stop Flair from continuing. So that is the one good thing Dustin Rhodes did. I think that's why he got a break on this, even though he did some shitty things too. But yeah, so again, actually, now that you mention it, one of the other, maybe if not heartbreaking, most infuriating moments from it is at the end when they're talking about the repercussions and the punishments that were handed out to the different wrestlers. And the host asks,
lack thereof.
Well, okay, so a couple of them got fired, a couple of them got suspended real good, but the one that didn't get anything was Ric Flair. And the host asked...
Right.
He was the worst one.
Yeah, and the host asked Jim Ross, who was the talent, you know, relations guy at the time, and was on the flight to keep everybody in control. They asked him, so why didn't Flair, you know, get anything? And Ross shuts down. He gets quiet, and he just goes, that's a good question. And then mentions that Flair, for lack of a better word, Flair was a made man. And because he was such a big made man, he got a pass. And then he says, was it right that he got a pass? You folks are listening to this. You tell me. Like, he knows it's bullshit.
You know
he knows
it's
bullshit. Yeah. It was bad.
As an aside of that, that's when Hennig got fired, right? They had brought Kurt Hennig in, and he got fired in the process of all that, if I remember
correctly.
And what a damn shame, too, man.
Yeah, and
he fucked up.
Yeah, but he didn't do anything, he didn't, like, sexually assault anybody, I think is what Tanner was going to say. His thing was that he picked a fight with Brock Lesnar.
Started a fight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And again, Lesnar didn't get punished. So...
Lesnar did nothing but defend himself.
If Hennig picked a fight with him, then...
Okay, so what they said was
Hennig
basically...
absolutely picked a fight.
Hennig sprayed shaving cream on his head and then slapped his head.
Asleep.
Yeah, and then slapped his head. So then Lesnar gets up and chases Hennig around the plane, and then they get into a scuffle. Like, at some point, it stops being self-defense. It probably stopped being self-defense when Hennig ran away and Lesnar chased him, in my opinion. How is that? Has that not the end of self-defense?
Let's not call it self-defense. It's retaliation. You don't come up and slap me in the top of my head when I'm asleep or I'm going to fuck you up.
You should be punished for retaliation, though. That is a punishable offense, especially when you're on a plane.
Of all the things that happened on that plane, I don't give a shit about the Brock Lesnar incident.
Well, you say like, that, but you're putting people's lives in danger.
The fact that Hennig got fired and Lesnar got nothing at all
is why? Strange. Why? Because Lesnar was an up-and-coming star. He was what they were putting all their chips on. And Hennig
was past his prime.
Hennig was past his prime. That was the only reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible. WWE is a terrible, terrible company. Sounds like a WWE company.
Thing to do.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I'm curious to see what AEW is going to do about it, because they do have a couple of the people that were on that plane ride.
Who?
Well, they have Jericho, but I don't think Jericho did anything at all.
He wasn't on the plane.
The one that really sticks out is Dustin Rhodes. Dustin Rhodes is... But here's the problem. Yeah. Not only is Dustin Rhodes on the roster, Dustin Rhodes' brother, Cody, is one of the people that runs the entire thing. So will there be any punishment?
I don't think it's a problem. I don't know that there'd be punishment, but I think AEW would... I think they would cut ties with Dustin Rhodes in a heartbeat, because I think Dustin Rhodes himself knows that he is in that kind of company where he probably would be the one to come out and go, you know what? It's time for me to call it a day. Time to hang it up, be done with it, and not cause them any problems. And maybe that's me giving him too much credit, but very much it feels like from day one with AEW, these guys have been the kind of guys who, when this stuff comes out, they have the polar opposite response of WWE. They're not sweeping it under the rug. They're not pretending like it didn't happen. Sammy Guevara got accused of, and I forget exactly what it was he was accused of. I'm pretty sure he was acquitted, but don't quote me on that. Accused of something, and immediately he was issuing apologies. Mm-hmm. Management pulled him off of the road, or pulled him off TV. He was in some sort of classes, if I remember correctly, some kind of like management classes of some kind, or some program, I forget what it was. And then only then, after all that, did they go, okay, now this is okay. Now this story has, you know, been taken care of, and hopefully, you know, it's been resolved. That's not a WWE response. So if this all is very much the case, and Runnels is just as likely, or Rhodes or whatever, it's just as likely to be problematic as the rest of them, I'm pretty sure Cody would be the one to go to him and go, it's time to retire. You're done.
Really quick, Zach Kyrgios, yes, Dustin is gold dust. And he was gold dust at the time that this happened. Two.
Like early gold dust.
I can only recall one time that WWE. Early
gold dust was like 95, 96.
Yeah, it was early 90s. Yeah, this was mid gold dust.
This is when he still had the long wig, came out with a. Old girl smoking cigar and everything still, though.
No, because that was his ex-wife. Mm-hmm. That was after they broke up. But, I mean, you're not too far off. This was before Cody were a team.
Watching the episode, I remember her saying that even though they were separated, she was still his valet.
No, she was doing interviews.
This was like 2001, wasn't it?
Yeah, she said in that interview that she was backstage doing interviews. She wasn't she wasn't manager at the time.
But no, past the what was it, the invasion, he wasn't like that anymore.
Right.
So real quick,
by the time WCW joined the fold, it wasn't that way.
Real quick before you move on from the channel, just on the gold dust issue. So JR said when they were handing out the few punishments that did hand out, that basically Vince told him, well, fire this person, fire this person, fire this person. When it got to Dustin, he basically said, you can fire him or you can suspend him. At this point in time, that's when he suspends him. And because you remember, Goldust disappeared for a while.
Like, couple
he
times.
Came back and like he was sober.
Yeah, he turned his life around. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why I don't think anything's going to. There's not going to be any repercussions for this, for him from this, because.
At the very least, he has to make. He has to say something about it, whether it's an apology. Like,
got
to
issue a statement.
He can't ignore this. And but my question is, and what I was going to say before I get to the question is, like, the only time I can ever remember WWE flat out blacklisting someone due to a controversy was Hulk Hogan. When the audio came out of Hulk Hogan saying the N-word. They blacklisted him so quickly, and then they brought him back years later, obviously, because they didn't mean anything sincerely. They just needed to, you know, look good in the public.
Ride it out.
Yeah. But
also, Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, the shit he did on there was ridiculous, too.
Yeah, Scott. Well,
he's in the same boat as Ric Flair for me.
Well, that's my question. That's what I was going to ask, is like, Flair, Scott Hall's done with the business, more or less. He's not going to be anywhere in particular. But Flair just showed up in, was it AAA, I think, a couple weeks ago with Andrade. He showed up on NWA a couple weeks ago when they had their big anniversary show. There's a good chance they've talked about him showing up in AEW next.
Wasn't Scott Hall like coming to Cape Girardeau some time back? But
yeah, he canceled. Go figure. Who would have thought? Tony Khan, who runs AEW, once famously said, "There's no way Hulk Hogan would ever appear on AEW because of what he did." So, do you think there is a chance in hell at this point that Ric Flair will show up in AEW?
I hope not.
Nope. Flair is almost definitely. I mean, this episode just released, and this is all still developing, and he hasn't said a word about it. I suspect that AEW won't say a word, probably, about him at all. But if his name ever comes up in any of that, they're going to quietly drop Andrade ever mentioning Flair in any form or fashion whatsoever. I think Flair's got to be retired, right? He's got to be done at this point. There's no way you come back from this.
Right.
And he's too far down the line to need to anyway. I mean, he was already no longer wrestling. But yeah, it puts a kibosh on a lot of stuff for him with Andrade. And again, it should. It absolutely should. That should be the end of it. But yeah, no, I don't think Tony Khan would ever even consider bringing him
Rob
on
the TV. Not, still
especially wrestling? Not right now, but probably never.
But Van Damme,
so, yeah, he was big an impact for a little while. Yeah.
Van Damme's biggest sin, though, from all this was what a lot of people's sin was, is that just inaction. They saw these things happening, yeah, they didn't do anything. But Van Damme himself, as far as I know, didn't do anything wrong. He just saw it happen and didn't do anything. That's what most of the guys did. Because it's that sorority, or not sorority, that frat atmosphere. You know, the boys will be boys bullshit.
Confidence in numbers bullshit.
This is the kind of thing that, you know, we used to rail on, you know, years ago when we did the show. And I remember someone getting very upset about things like this because it goes on for so long with no one talking about it. Like, this has been going on for so long and no one says anything. And then it finally comes out and a lot of people go, "Wow, I didn't know it was like this." And like, a lot of people knew it was like
you
that.
Knew
you didn't
it was
do anything.
This way. Exactly. So many. It's, look at Blizzard.
This incident happened 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
2001. Yeah. 20 years ago. And some people were like, "This is brand new information." We knew about it the weekend it happened.
There's also
the internet wasn't around. I mean,
there's also statute of limitations ramifications too. Like, it 20 years later, there's justice that can't happen depending on how bad some of this stuff got.
Well, she signed, she settled out of court.
Yeah. She got a large chunk of money.
Yeah, I think a lot of
was probably a you're never gonna. I would suspect that a lawyer looked at them and said, "You're never going to win this case. Take anything they will give you and run."
Yep. But and at the same time, I think a lot of those types of actions, those types of old day under the carpet legalities, are starting to kind of come back under another microscope. Like, you paid some money and you got out of rape. Like, that was maybe doable then, and the courts and jury would let. I think a lot of that stuff is starting to come back into question.
It was shady as hell.
NDAs,
the days of the non-disclosure agreements are slowly but surely coming to an end.
Better be
for things like that. Now, you know, when it comes to like technology disputes or
NDAs,
trademark disputes over
NDAs have went the way of trademarks and patents, where it's not about the actual what the intended use of it was for. It's now about exploiting it. Yeah. Patent trolls and copyright trolls and shit that they make like 20% of their profits is just suing people for shit that just happens to be similar.
Donald Trump likes to throw lawsuits out for no reason at all, even though he never
perfect
goes
perfect example.
But anyway, what I was gonna say is that's one of the things that Tommy Dreamer said that I think really buried him in this was that he said that about her. Her name was, what was it, Tanner? It was Doyle, something Doyle.
Yeah,
I don't remember her first name, but it was something Doyle. She was the flight attendant that had to deal with this, and she took the settlement at the behest of her husband, who didn't want the whether she doesn't know whether he didn't want the embarrassment or they didn't want it to come back on their daughter, who was very young, that they didn't want this to go out so that way their daughter would be, you know, mortified by it. Whatever reason, she doesn't know, but whatever reason it happened. But Tommy Dreamer said, If she thought it was as bad as it really was, then maybe she shouldn't have taken a settlement. Maybe she should have pursued justice to get this heinous person put in jail.
You can't say that. You can't
That's
assume
such a
that.
Bullshit right. excuse. That's it's terrible. Easy to say from your side of the fucking aisle on the plane.
Yeah.
That's easy to say from your side of the equation, where you could just sit back and let that shit happen. And it didn't happen to you.
Ric Flair did his thing. What did Tommy Dreamer do?
Watched.
Defended Ric Flair.
Yeah. Okay, so it was all about that right there was kind of the peak of the, like...
Yeah, see, for
I'm not diminishing, I'm just saying, Dreamer like, was not multiple of these.
For years, Tommy Dreamer was not the name that was associated with any of this. It's literally his appearance on that show. I have no idea what he was thinking going on that show and saying, well, you know, Flair just did what he did, boys will be boys. Tommy Dreamer's getting almost more attention than Ric Flair is now.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's, it was so frustrating.
That's what kills me.
Watching.
It's happening again. Watching. The made man thing.
Seeing Dreamer say all these things, and then, like, they had referee Mike Chioda on there, and he's laughing about all of it, and is like, oh, yeah, Flair was crazy, and, like, that attitude of the boys will be boys. Ugh. Like, I never realized when I was younger how awful that was. And it wasn't until the past couple of years when I met new people and they introduced me to new thoughts and ideas that I realized what a terrible fucking thought process that is. And it's a perfect example is this.
Yeah.
For them, it was boys will be boys. Flair's crazy. He's wiggling his dick in front of someone that doesn't want him to. And for her, she's traumatized for the rest of her life. She said she went home after it was all said and done, took a shower, and cried while they went off to their hotel rooms and partied more probably. And it's ridiculous. And there's no justice for it.
So what you're saying right now, it just reminds me of a conversation I had. I had this with a family member. My family is extremely conservative. They are. I grew up conservative.
The hell you say?
I still have conservative views on things. But I don't have conservative views to the point where I can agree with them on anything, hardly. So, the conversation about Trump saying, grab her by the pussy, comes up. And I was like, that just knowing he said that and hearing he said that pisses me off to no end.
Non-starter.
I have a daughter. Okay. My family hits me with, he's a man. All men say things like that. I've never said anything like that. And I stopped and looked at him.
What kind of shitty fucking men do you know?
And I looked at their, fucking back then, that was the case, I guess. That doesn't make it right, but what the fuck? So I looked at these people. I'm like, I want you to sit there and imagine my daughter being a teenager now and a full-grown man coming up and saying something like that to her or doing something like that to her. And
I was about to say, don't forget that that's words, but there were actually actions that were
up
there on par, too, that actually happened that he did.
So they hit me with the boys will be boys. Men are men. That's how men talk. And I flat out told them, I don't curse in front of my family. But I literally sat there and looked them dead in the eye and said, I fucking murder someone if they said anything like that to my daughter. Having a daughter, knowing that people, men out there act like this, I fear for people coming up now. And luckily, we're getting to the point now where this men will be men, boys will be boys. They're just acting like a guy. That shit's going away, and it needs to.
I go back to Brock Turner. We did quite a few shows on Brock Turner.
Oh, you mean Brock Turner, the rapist?
The rapist, Brock Turner. And his dad, who said, you know, what was it? He shouldn't get 10 years of his life taken away for 10 minutes of action or something like that. He called it action. Raping a passed out girl was action for him. It shows you what an awful, awful thought process so many people have. And, like, you can't, I mean, what can you do about it? You call them out when you call them out, but, like, what can you do? Sucks. All right. Well, that is a great way to end the show tonight. Serious. Ooh,
that got truly serious.
Now we'll go play the Red Dead and shoot some bad guys.
Will we? Because I ain't got that on Game Pass.
Wait, do you not have a physical copy? Oh, I know what you do. Buy it. It's $10.
Should I?
Buy the online pass.
It's $10. Yes.
Yeah,
you should.
$10.
You should do the same thing that Curtis did. Not tell anybody you're doing it. Just pop into the chat and just hang out, and then buy it and sneak just show in. Up and then as soon as Shannon gets out of a menu, just stab him in the face.
Stab me.
That would be satisfying. Because
that's what Zach did, basically.
That would be satisfying.
Also, Michaela, I want to say this to you before we get out of here. She said, men that say that kind of stuff defended are disgusting. Yes, they absolutely are. And yes, don't you are. Ever forget that. Don't ever let anyone in your life tell you that that is okay or normal. It's not. People that do that monsters.
Like, when people say, when is a good time? What's a good reason to punch somebody in the face? That's up there.
There's lots of good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for us tonight. We're going to get out of here. I want to thank you guys. It was a lighthearted, fun, and then very opposite show tonight. Sometimes you need those. I'm so sorry. There you go. We should have stopped at the moth story. All right. For myself, for Double H, for Ari Casper, for the man himself, Tanner Calvert, thank you guys for joining us tonight. We're going to be back on Monday, probably, with an all-new I Want to Believe, maybe. Or Tanner and I might just play Phasmophobia. It's going to be one or the other. And we'll
watch that.
We'll start it all again next week.
I'll be here.
All right, thank you guys. We'll see you next week. Hunter, take us out.
And finally, the votes are in, and Entertainment Weekly has chosen its funniest man alive. And who is the funniest man alive? You guessed it, Frank Stallone. Congratulations, Frank Stallone, and that's the way it is. Good night.